Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Wolverine Confidential Podcast. I'm Andrew Kahn.
I'm Ryan Zook.
And I'm Aaron McMahon.
Michigan is set to play its third and final non-conference game of the season when it hosts Bowling Green on Saturday night. Will this one, like the last two, produce a lopsided result? What's the latest on the depth chart? We tackle those topics and more coming up on Wolverine Confidential. Okay, guys, good to be talking with you here Thursday morning, September 14th, 2 days away from Michigan's game against Bowling Green at Michigan Stadium. Like I said, third and final non-conference game of the season. I think we're all kind of excited for that to be the case. Yes, and we can move on to some better opponents. Do you agree with me on that?
I do, but at the same token, I don't think the Big Ten schedule, at least the beginning, is any much better. But yes, I am looking forward to Big Ten football.
Oh yeah, I'm ready to fast forward to November at this point with what's been going on with some of the other Big Ten teams and Michigan's opponents. But yes, it should be better than Bowling Green, UNLV, and East Carolina slate for sure.
Now, Zook, it's a night game. First one of the season. First one at the newly renovated Big House with the new lights. Are you concerned your mind's going to be playing tricks on you throughout that lightning has struck Michigan Stadium, because that was a problem even during a 3:30 kick with the intensity of the new scoreboards?
Yes, I kept getting a glare every time they switched graphics on the scoreboards, and it's like, what was that? And it was like, no, it's just a scoreboard, not lightning. But yeah, no, it was messing with me a little bit in there. I'm surprised it was just me, unfortunately. I feel kind of like an idiot. But
I thought you were going to ask, was it Grant Newsom you asked about if they had practiced that night, in
yes,
the Big House to prepare for it? I thought you were then going to ask, ever think that it looks like lightning coming in? But you didn't. All right. So yeah, Michigan, a massive favorite in this game. I think it's up to, 40 points, something like that.
41 on Bet Rivers.
There you go. We'll get into the... some of the connections between the staffs in this game and a little bit about Bowling Green later on. But first, from Michigan's side, let's just talk about sort of health and the depth chart, because, we heard about maybe some rotation happening along the offensive line, the Michigan method, as the Michigan coaches like to call it. And maybe that hasn't played out, or it just wasn't necessary. Seems like we know who that group is, and maybe some updates on injured Wolverines as well.
Yeah, it hasn't played out, at least along the offensive line, at least right now, right? We talked to Shomer earlier this week, the offensive line coach. He said the plan right now is to still start Carson Barnhart and Miles Hinton at tackle. Not a huge surprise, given the fact that both of them have started the previous two games. So they're going to roll with the same offensive line. It is important to note here that the last two games, Michigan has started Trent A. Jones as a sixth lineman, and they've used him in certain packages. So that's not to say they won't use him going forward. But yeah, I mean, they were talking rotation early before the season started, maybe getting some different guys starts in different games, and that just really hasn't been the case so far. I think part of it is they are happy with what they have at the top. They believe they have the best five. But I think, too, there's the element here of getting the offensive line to start gelling, right? Like we've talked about the struggles with run blocking. Jerome Moore did say that he saw some improvement from week one to week two. So I think part of it too is getting these guys to play three games in a row and just start, you know, get used to playing next to one another. And I think the hope, at least internally, is that they can put it together and have a complete game on this Saturday against Bowling Green.
Yeah, for me to see that they're not going to continue to rotate guys or give a few other guys some reps with the first team says that there must be a pretty big gap in practice between them, because I mean, you would think that at the start of camp they said like we literally have four starting tackles, and then all of a sudden it seems like, oh, all of a sudden, yeah, we have our starting five through two games, when you know you can maybe afford to give a couple of the backups or a couple of the other guys some reps too. So it must be that Hinton and Barnhart are clearly above the other two, and we'll see what happens. But I mean, the run game hasn't been great, so if they continue to struggle there, some other guys get an opportunity. But yeah, I guess it's a wait and see there.
Part of me wonders too, like what Ladarius Henderson, the transfer from Arizona State's thinking, right? I gotta assume he came in thinking he was gonna get the starting job, whether it was left tackle or right tackle, and he just hasn't gotten it. You know, it's interesting with him, because at least notable, because he played a lot of guard at Arizona State, and those two positions theoretically weren't open. So interesting predicament he finds himself in. He could have left the NFL after last year. He chose not to and wanted to kind of follow an Olu situation where he got to Michigan and just improved and got better and improved his draft stock. And right now, so far, at least, it's not happening.
He still has one more year of eligibility after this year, though, too, correct, if need be?
Yeah, I think so when you factor in the 2020 COVID year, right? But that's always tricky too.
How about at other spots as far as Wolverines who either didn't play in the last game or maybe coming back or were banged up in the last game? What is kind of, I know we'll get our, you know, official report, you know, before the game, but where do things kind of stand right now on Thursday morning?
Yeah, the expectation is I think the secondary is going to start getting a little bit healthier. I think they're going to try and get some of those guys in that haven't played in the last few weeks or played much. I do expect Will Johnson to play a little bit more. Him and Markari Page apparently did practice this week. We were told Rod Moore was still being held out, even though we were told last week he was practicing. So I don't know what to make of the Rod Moore situation, but I got to think, you know, from all accounts, these injuries aren't particularly serious, and Michigan's coaching staff has kind of been choosing to hold them out to keep them kind of healthy for when, you know, competition ramps up. So as we said, you know, Big Ten schedule does begin next week. So I got to think some of these guys are going to get more reps. How many, I don't know. But, you know, given the fact that this probably will be a blowout on Saturday, they're not going to play a ton. But I do think you got to get them in the game to kind of get their feet wet again and get reacclimated to what Michigan's trying to do.
And it sounds like Jack Tuttle is fine at quarterback and healthy again, even though he went down kind of awkwardly and was scary for a second. He didn't seem to move right away, but his former Indiana teammate AJ Barner said he should be good to go, but he probably will not be the first guy into the game as far as backup quarterback situation this week. So it looks like it'll either be probably Jaden Denegal, am I correct there, Aaron, will be the first guy in if Michigan has a big lead.
That's what it sounded like. He was the next off the bench last week after they screwed up with Davis, putting Davis Warren in when they weren't supposed to. So it sounds like Jaden Denegal's first. Alex Georgie follows him up. I think in an ideal situation, Michigan would probably prefer getting Jaden in maybe midway through the third quarter, and then having Orgie, you know, close it out. But Jim made it apparent, obvious this week. He was adamant that he wants to see those guys in games. And if they don't get in Saturday for some reason, then they're going to try, they're going to roll it forward to whenever the next, you know, lopsided game is, whether that's Rutgers or sometime else in the Big Ten schedule.
Michigan's run game has not been great through the first two games. And at least, you know, I think part of that is just expectations for it being dominant, given the opponent, given what it was last year. So I guess more generally, like, you know, we're talking about like, does Michigan need to fix, or, you know, how can Michigan fix its run game? I guess the question is, you know, does it need fixing? Sometimes I wonder if it's just, again, you know, they're winning games, they're putting up points. You know, if teams are determined to take away the run, then, you know, Michigan has had no problem throwing the ball. Ideally, you want to see both done well in every game, but I don't know. I'm not sure with how defenses are playing them, that's always possible. I guess, what do you make of the run game so far, and what are you expecting to see on Saturday?
I think it's like an all of the above situation, right? You know, I was surprised Monday at how adamant Jim Harbaugh was in the fact that they are focusing on the run game and improving it this week. You know, he said that, you know, mistakes were being made at pretty much every level, from perimeter blocking from the receivers to run blocks from the offensive line to the running backs just not making the right cuts or just not being quick enough in their moves. So it's really kind of all the above situation. I thought, as I said earlier in the week, I thought Blake played a better game last week. It wasn't, I think, vintage Blake Corum game, but we also got to keep in mind he is coming off the injury. He said he didn't get hit much in camp and in the offseason. So I think he's kind of feeling himself out again some more. I think it's kind of like him getting his feet wet situation. Donovan's the one I'm really concerned about, right? Like, we saw him end the season strong last year despite being injured, and he just hasn't been able to kind of bridge that to the start of this year. Now, there's obviously still 10 games left to go. You know, it wouldn't surprise me if we went off for 120 yards on Saturday against Bowling Green with a couple of big runs, but we just haven't seen it yet. And I think until we do, I think there's going to be some question marks with Donovan Edwards.
And to me, I'm thinking a little bit like, what can maybe fix this run game? And I'm thinking maybe a little bit more of J.J. Reed options, but you probably don't want him running the ball against Bowling Green either. So maybe they're saving a little bit more of their run game wrinkles for Big Ten play. But no, Aaron's right. Like, the offensive line needs to create some more openings. The perimeter blocking needs to be better. And yeah, you want to see the running backs, if they only have one slight little hole, make that cut, make that move, and get to the second level and pick up some extra yardage. And we haven't really seen that too much from Donovan and Blake so far. So yeah, there's definitely going to be a lot to watch. Bowling Green, his run defense was pretty good against in the first game, I think, against Eastern Illinois. Not so much against Liberty in their second game. So I think there could be some yards to be had on the ground, and we'll see if Michigan can take advantage of them.
Yeah, you got that flipped. Liberty was the first game they lost. Oh, yeah. They just beat Eastern Illinois. But yes.
Remember, too, the one thing we talked about ad nauseum last year about Blake Corum was his ability to get yards after contact. You know, he turned a 3-yard run into a 5-yard run or a 4-yard run into 7-yard runs. We haven't seen that a ton this year. Now, he hasn't been in a lot of those situations. Michigan's been throwing the ball a lot more on first and second down. But it's clearly he's not being used in the same way he was last year. And he's not, you know, getting those extra yards. Part of that, again, it goes back to, I think, him just coming off the injury and not being hit a ton in practice. So I think as the season goes on, you're going to see him develop. I do think he's still got the same burst as he had last year, but it's going to take some time. I think Michigan acknowledges that, and I think that's one of the reasons why we've seen Michigan emphasize the play action so much here early in the season, which is a huge contrast to how they played last year.
Yeah, I mean, what, Corum missed a good part of 4 games last year, and he still finished top 10 in the country in forced missed tackles by running back. So, I mean, that's one of the staples of his game, being able to make guys miss and break through them. And yeah, I think he only has 1 or 2 in these first couple of games, which is kind of uncharacteristic of him.
And now here we are, the third and final game of Jim Harbaugh's suspension too, and I think, you know, it kind of says something that we're 10 minutes into this chat, and this is the first time we're kind of really mentioning that, because I don't know, it's just it's old hat now. Like, yep, he missed the first two, they had no problem, and now here we go one more time. But yeah, it is a different acting head coach. This one will be Sharon Moore, the offensive coordinator, who, you know, also was suspended for the first game, came back last week, and now he'll be running the show in addition to calling the plays on offense. So I don't know, what's interesting about that? Do you expect anything different on Saturday because he's there and Harbaugh's not? Or yeah.
Not a ton. I mean, just remember, Sharon is the offensive coordinator, right? So he's going to still lead the offense, and still, I think this is a good game for him to get organized and kind of learn the ins and outs being a head coach. But you know, you're right. We're at game 3 and now, the suspension, and I think some folks have forgotten about it just because Michigan's been rolling and winning games easily, and I think the expectation is Saturday it's going to be just the same. But this is a different head coach. I mean, it is a different another opportunity for a different individual. Sharon, it seems like the last couple of off seasons, his name has popped up for head coaching jobs. I suspect it will again this off season. He's probably top of the list at this point of the Michigan assistants next to be head coach. So perfect opportunity for him. I know he welcomes it, and then we can get on with the suspension talk, at least for now.
Yeah, I mean, I'll just be looking forward to just seeing if he puts in the wrong guy at any point, and we hear about it on Monday from Jim Harbaugh. I was kind of surprised that he mentioned that with a little Mike Hart gaffe there as far as personnel. But no, I mean, honestly, I think either one of us can have the play sheet on and be the head coach on Saturday, and Michigan would win by a similar score. So I think this whole head coaching duties, when you have so many guys on staff that are know how to do their jobs, and I think it makes for a pretty seamless transition, and we've seen that through two games.
What are you dialing up as Michigan's play caller, Ryan Zoop?
Oh man, throwing me on the spot. I mean, I'm seeing a lot of streaks and just bombs, Hail Marys.
Yeah, video game style offense. Yeah, that's what I figured. All right, yeah. So, you know, this is a Bowling Green team that's, you know, 1-1, as Ryan mentioned. You know, Liberty's a solid program. Hugh Freeze, you know, got them to a higher level than they'd been accustomed to. He's not there anymore, but you know, tough road game to start the year. They were competitive, yeah, and then beat Eastern Illinois pretty handily. That's an FCS team, but yeah, Scott Loeffler is their head coach. You know, fifth season. He's a former Michigan quarterback. You know, never threw a pass at Michigan, only got in one game before injuries derailed him. But then he turned to, you know, become a student assistant, grad assistant, eventually returned as the quarterback's coach for a period before moving on to various roles, including, you know, offensive coordinator stops along the way before getting his first head coaching job at Bowling Green. We have plenty of, you know, stories about him now and kind of some of the connections at MLive.com/Wolverines. But you know, it's been fun. I mean, we got, you know, one of Jim Harbaugh's great press conference moments talking about, you know, his dad, Jack, who's a Bowling Green alum. He played there. He then, you know, coached there as an assistant, you know, just kind of bragging about what Bowling Green's going to do when they come to Ann Arbor this Saturday. But yeah, there's a lot of connections here, which kind of adds another layer of entertainment to this game.
Yeah. BG assistants that were former Michigan players. Kevin Tolbert, their strength coach, was Harbaugh's strength coach before he brought in Ben Herbert. So like you said, a lot of connections. The Harbaugh family has a mutual admiration and affection for BG, as you mentioned. In fact, Jim Harbaugh on Monday night on his own radio show was singing the BG fight song. It wasn't the first time he's done that. So they really respect BG. A lot of history there. That's where Jim's mom and dad met. So, you know, he always, you know, he said every time they drive south with the family, they look out and look to Dwight Perry Stadium there along I-75 and BG campus. So they love BG. There's a good connection there. You throw in Scott Loeffler and all the you know, former Michigan guys on staff there, and I think it's going to be a heartwarming game. I don't expect a blowout. I don't expect Michigan to run the score up on them, just out of, again, mutual respect. But it's going to be a good, it'll be a fun game, I think.
And that's why the entire Wolverine Confidential crew is on Bowling Green +40.5 this week.
I don't know that for sure. Our scores have been very close and, you know, not spot on these first couple of games. But I don't know. Maybe we'll see some differences this time around in our predictions. Don't assume what I'm going to be picking for this game.
Your picks are already on MLive.com this week.
Oh, against the spread?
Against the spread, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, that had to be submitted. You know, that was Tuesday night. Now we've got, you know, by Friday morning, who knows what I'll be thinking, but fair enough. All right, what else we got, Zook? Some recruiting news as well you want to share with our listeners?
Yeah, I mean, just the kind of some news that we've all kind of seen coming for the last month or so. Mantrez Walker, a three-star linebacker in the 2025 class, announced on X, formerly known as Twitter, that he is decommitted from Michigan. And I mean, he announced late July that he was basically had reopened his recruitment anyways. And to me, when I see that, I kind of assume that means like, hey, all right, if you're listening to other schools, announcing offers from other schools and taking visits to other schools, you're basically not in the class. So I quote tweeted his tweet saying, yeah, Michigan and appears to be decommitted, and he messaged me like, no, I'm not decommitted. I'm still in the class. I'm just listening to other schools. And then sure enough, now it's an official decommitment. So, I mean, still early on in the class, but any decommitments are always notable. He plays for Buford in Georgia, which is kind of a powerhouse program in the country. And I know Michigan's gotten some guys from there in the past. They're also interested in their running back in the 2025 class. I don't know how this will affect that. But yeah, notable nonetheless.
Yeah, we talked about that a little bit before we started recording, the whole decommitment versus, you know, just, you know, reopening your recruitment. It's really no different. It's your, I think Aaron was saying, it's, you know, you're dating someone, that person thinks you're exclusive, but you're not, you're still looking for other options out there. So, I mean, again, none of it is official. The national letter of intent is, you actually sign something for that, but until you get to that stage, yeah, you either, you know, you're committed and it's kind of understood that they're holding that spot for you, or you're not. And then, yeah, they'll look elsewhere. So I guess,
I mean, he's got a lot of big time offers. I mean, he's fallen from a 4-star to 3-star, but he's still ranked in the top 400 in the 24/7 composite. I mean, he's got schools like Florida, Florida State, LSU, Miami, Ohio State, Penn State, all offering them. So, I mean, there's some schools that are going after him hard, and it's weird too. It seems like Colorado is in the mix for a lot of more of these, top tier prospects now that Deion Sanders is there than they were in the past.
It's notable too here that this is still early. It's a 2025 class. So decommitment comes very early in the process. Michigan still has plenty of time to fill that hole and find another running back, or you know, maybe two. You never know.
All right. Well, Michigan will take on Bowling Green on Saturday night, 7:30 Eastern time. And you know, the official game notes, at least for Michigan, they say that's what it is, 7:30. Often it's been little later than advertised time, but that's on Big Ten Network. Three non-conference games. We've got all the kickoff times covered, noon, you know, 3:30, and now prime time, 7:30, under the new, brighter and fancier lights at Michigan Stadium. So we'll have full coverage before, during, and after at MLive.com/Wolverines. Thanks for listening.